can count on them. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here tonight, Lord, and we ask for your strength. We ask for you to be with us, Lord, as we look through the scripture tonight, dear God. And Lord, guide us, Father, and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to just kind of read through the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians and take it a few verses at a time. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That word account means to think of us. Paul is speaking about the ministers of God. Think of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. And it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Someone who has shown themselves that through the discharge of their duties and their faith, they're worthy of your trust, in other words. And showing themselves they're worthy of your trust. And, you know, you've, ministers of God, you've got to have faith in them, you know, especially like your pastor, that they are a man of God, that they're sent from God. I know there's been a lot of preachers over the years that have claimed to be preachers and have done self-serving things and things, but the thing is, you've got to find those that actually their life lines up with the word. You know, it takes more than just being a good speaker to be a minister of God. Brother Branham many times he said he wasn't a very eloquent speaker. He wasn't a very good speaker. He said, you know, Christ himself wasn't an eloquent speaker. So it takes more than that. It takes a man that is in touch with God. And, you know, in order for a minister to help you, you've got to believe that they're not up there divulging their own thoughts, but that they've got in touch with God. And any preacher that doesn't think any more than of this pulpit than to get up and divulge their own thoughts anyway, why, they got no business being up here. You know, I've got nothing to speak to you other than what God gives me. I could get up and speak, give you a good speech, but that wouldn't do you no good. That would just be temporal words. But to be anointed by the Spirit of God and then speak his word, his word's eternal. His word is something that can change your soul. Men's words it can't change your soul. It can't change your life, but the word of God can. And, you know, you've got to have faith that the man who stands there as the minister of God, the steward of the mystery of God, that he's actually sent from God, that God sent him. And, you know, Brother Branham speaks about in the message, Believest Thou This, he talks about when Jesus was called to come when his friend Lazarus was sick. And he said they called Jesus and Jesus didn't come. He went on a little further. And you know, they said, well, he's really sick. He didn't come. And then finally they said, well, he's died. And then when he died, then Jesus come. And you know, Martha was sitting there with him, and she was saying, you know, perhaps, you know, you've waited too late to come. He's already dead. By now he stinketh, you know. And, Brother Branham said, you know, with many people, if that had been their pastor, they'd have sent for it. He didn't come right away when they sent for him. Well, they would have said, you know, well, that old hypocrite, I'll go over and join another church. Yeah, that happens in the message. That happens in the message, too. People were church hopping, going from one church to another. You know, it didn't like something the way this minister done this or that, and so they got to go somewhere else. And he says, then they'll go to another church. That's the reason your pastor can't do nothing for you. You got to believe him as a man of God. You got to have faith in him. If you don't, he'll never be able to do you any good. If you get sick and sin for him, let him come anoint you with oil and pray over you. God promised the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's true. He's a man of God. God will honor him. That's true. Sometimes he can't come just when you call. But remember, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, God, you know, ain't just got control of your life. He's got control of the pastor's life too. He's got control of all of our lives. You know, we have trouble just for controlling our own. And, you know, but God has control of all of our lives. And, you know, and Brother Bram says, then when your pastor prays for you, you say, well, he must not be a man of God because God didn't hear his prayer. Brother Bram said, what about your faith? It's your faith that touches God, not altogether just the pastor's prayer. You're obeying God's word. When you obey God's word, God's under obligation to answer you. And, you know, people come up for prayer and they say, well, you know, I didn't get what you prayed for. Well, did you believe you'd receive it? What was your faith? Because it ain't just the prayer, it's your faith too that it relies on. Let's go on down to verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. So it starts off, Paul says, in other words, Paul didn't think too much of what men had to say about him. He didn't think too much. He says, to me, it's a very small thing that I'd be judged of you. Because Paul's looking at who he's to be judged by is God. And man's judgment, why, it can fail anyway. But a man, you know, a man's not judged by his eloquency or his outward appearance or his stature. Brother Branham said a man's really judged by his character. Brother Branham said, I've seen great big men that didn't have, great big men that didn't have an ounce of man in them. And he said, it's not by the outward stature, but it's by the character. He said, a man should be judged by the bag of the knees in his pants, whether he gets down and prays or not, is what you should judge him by. And, you know, every one of us are judged by the word that's preached. We come to the house of God, why? Judgment starts at the house of God. And Brother Branham said, I would rather that my judgment go before me than come afterwards. He said, I would rather be judged here by the word of God in the house of God and get my life right than to wait until the end and be judged by God at the judgment seat. You know, and so the word that's preached, wherever the word's being preached, Brother Branham said, that becomes where the judgment's at. And you know, the thing is, we're judged by the word. And I've had people say, "Well, you said," I would ask them, "You know, why didn't you come to me and talk to me if something?" But well, you said that if we were to come to you to be able to show you in the word where you were off, and I couldn't show you anywhere in the word where you were off. Well, then what's the problem? I don't know what the problem is then. Well, here's what the problem comes down to. They just don't like a person's personality. The personality rubs them wrong. Well, you know, God didn't make preachers' personalities to make you feel good. It said one of the signs of the last days would be they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they would heap to themselves teachers that would make them feel good.
Right.
And, tell them something good to make them feel all right about themselves. Give them a good speech that would make them feel pretty good about themselves. And that's not what God sent us to do. What God sent us to do was get us ready. Get us ready to leave out of here. And if we need to change, then we need to change. And if we need to be told we're wrong, then we need to be told we're wrong. You know, and if we are wrong, we need to be told we're wrong. We don't need to be any kinds of kids' gloves on, you know, being handled that way, because I'll tell you something, friends. When it comes time for the judgment, there ain't going to be no kids' gloves at the judgment. Things is going to be just as it is, and that's going to be the end of it. So I would rather myself be judged by the word. You know, and I know that, Brother Howard Carroll told me one time, he said, "You know, Brother Jerry," he says, "you know, there's people that could sit under my ministry and I could pastor that they couldn't sit under your ministry, or you couldn't pastor them." He says, "And there's people you could pastor, I couldn't pastor." And I looked at him and I said, "And there's probably people neither one of us could pastor." And that's be the truth. There's some people that ain't nobody can pastor. You watch them after a while and you find out they really want to be their own pastor. You know, they don't want to come under headship is what it's all about. They don't want to be told they're wrong. They don't want to be given any guidance. They want to just make their own way. Let's go to verse 6. "And these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you." You know, the thing is, it's people. Not necessarily, I mean, I'm sure some preachers will lift themselves up above others, and that's true. But for the most part, you know, it's not always the preacher. It's the people that lift up this man or lift up that man. And many times they lift him up because they like to hear the way they preach. And so, then they get that person lifted up, but let him go and say, let that man become their pastor. And then let that man bring correction to him, and let's see how much they lift him up then. You know, there is no big I's and little U's in God. You know, people get to thinking, well, this preacher, he's a big preacher. You know, he does this and that, and he goes here and there or whatever. You know, friends, look, wherever God sends a man, God's got to be able to trust a man to stay there. And, you know, Brother Donnie told me one time when we were talking, he said, you know, people think that men that have bigger congregations because God can trust them more. He said, that ain't necessarily true at all. He said, sometimes it's the guy that's got the little congregation, God's got to be able to trust him to stay with them even though they're little, even though they're small, to stay there, you know. And it's like I heard a story one time that a pastor of a church, a small church, you know, why he was given opportunity to go and pastor a larger church, much larger church. And so he told his wife, he said, look, I'm going to go pray about this, and while I'm praying about it, you go pack. Well, he done made up his mind. Yeah, I don't know what he was praying about. That's the way many people, when they, I've watched people over the years come to me, and they've made up their mind to go somewhere, and they come and ask me to pray about it. What's there to pray about? They done made up their mind. You know, they didn't come and ask me for counsel or you know, I'm thinking about this, and could you just give me some, you know, some experience, wisdom, and insight? And no, they make up their own mind, and then they come and tell you, and well, ain't nothing you do then. Just say, God bless you, and let them go. You know, and let's look in verse 9. For I think that God hath sent us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now, Paul says here, he was talking about the apostles being that they were appointed to death, that they were going to die for the cause of Christ. And sometime in the past, we had brought a study on these men, these martyrs for Christ, and the apostles, the different ones, how they had died, and how like Peter had been crucified, and Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. He said, hang me upside down. And then I believe it was John, not the Revelator, but and not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle, that was beat. And then there was the one that actually beat him until they actually stove his head in. And there, the apostles died many different ways. You know, Paul was beheaded. And Paul knew that their appointment was to death. And, you know, no wonder Paul could say when he come down to the end, you know, I've kept the faith. You know, I've kept the faith. I've stayed the course. I've kept the word. And there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not he said, not for me only. Amen. But for all those. And many times preachers, you know, pastors, they're despised. You know, there's people around this town that, like I said, something I believe on Sunday, I don't know what in the world they got against me. I don't know what in the world I've done. I ain't done a thing. But it seems like they despise me. And all I've ever done is come here and preach the word and try to help people. But the thing about it is, what it really is, they don't want to hear the word. Is really what it is. Because the word, as we said, the word judges you. The word corrects you. And they don't want to be corrected. They want to believe they're all right. They don't want to come under any headship. You know, I'll be honest with you, friends, that's why you got so many tape groups that you've got, because they don't want a pastor. They don't want somebody to lead them and guide them. That's why they say, well, Brother Branham's our pastor. Well, I'm sorry, Brother Branham's in glory. He can't come and correct you on Sunday morning. Brother Branham, speaking in the message of the ministry of Christ, he says, you know, every one of us has a guardian angel. And he said, you know, the children of God, Jesus said, take heed, despise not these little ones, for their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. So Brother Branham said, that's true, so be careful what you do against Christians. It'd be better to be drowned in the sea with a rock around your neck than to bring even an offense to one of them. And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, my father, in his passing on wisdom and that, I've heard him not only say to me, but I've heard him say to other young ministers that were coming up, and he would say, you know, be careful how you speak to the people. He said, because that's God's people, you know. And he said, that's the bride of Jesus Christ. So be careful how you speak to them, you know. And we ought to speak with respect. Amen. And have respect. But now, if somebody's offended by the word of God, then there ain't nothing you can do about that. Let's look at verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, we know that Timothy was not Paul's biological son, but what he's speaking of in the gospel, Timothy was his son. And, you know, I was reading in the message today, convinced and in concern, where Brother Branham was speaking and he said some things about Brother Neville and was kind of commending Brother Neville on that. And then Brother Neville was standing up there and he said, Brother Neville, do you have something you want to say? And so it had it in print, says, Brother Neville says, well, I'm certainly delighted to be here in the company with this good man of God. That's been my privilege to associate with for this 10 years. I don't know whether I've made a good Gehazi or not, but I've tried to carry the staff for this man of God. He is more than a friend to me. He's been, as it were, a father in the gospel for me, even though I exceed him a few years in age. So, you know, when you're talking about somebody fathering someone in the gospel, it's got nothing to do with chronological age. It's got to do with that person that God has used, that minister, to be able to guide these individuals into the Word of God and to teach them the ways of the Lord. And that, as Paul says, begotten you through the gospel. And so an example, you know, a father is an example. He lets his life be an example. Brother Branham says in the message of God being misunderstood, he said, if my church needed correction, I'm going to stand here and do my best for my Savior, whether it hurts or whether it doesn't. I'm your father in the gospel. You don't want a wrong spirit, you want a right spirit. Why take a substitute when there's a whole Pentecostal sky is full of the real? Why eat in a garbage can when there's fine, big, clean table set here with chicken and dumplings and everything? You know, there's people that I've heard over the years take a quote Brother Branham said. He said, if you can't get a loaf, take a slice. If you can, you know. And but the thing about it is, friends, you don't got to settle for a slice in these days. Brother Branham said that the only message church there was Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now, there's message churches everywhere. There is pastors everywhere preaching this message, preaching the opening of the seals, preaching the opening of the word and the revealed word. We don't got to settle for something else. We don't got to say, well, I'll just go to this denominational church over here and take a slice. You don't got to do that. As a matter of fact, you know, friends, I'll tell you something. Once you've sat down and had a good meal in the Lord, then to go to one of those places, you'd about starve to death. They've got nothing to offer. You know, and I'm not downing them. I'm just saying, you know, the people, I guess, that go there, they feel like they're getting fed, I guess. But what are they hungering for? You know, and I think about, you know, even the connection that I've had with some denominations and that, and, you know, the good people. And they love to worship the Lord, and you know, they faithful maybe to go to church and so on. But I've sat in their midst, friends, and I'll tell you something. They believe, well, you've got to speak in tongues as your evidence of having the Holy Ghost. They've got devils speaking in tongues. They got people go to church, speak in tongues, and go out and live with somebody else's wife. You know, that ain't no sign of having the Holy Ghost. That's actually, the life right there shows they didn't ever have it. But see, this is what they got to offer people. I said to an individual one time, denominational individual, I said, you know, they were talking about a certain individual. And how he had left his wife and he had went off, you know, and ended up divorcing her and all these things, you know. And they said, well, you know, he had had the Holy Ghost, he had spoken tongues. I said, no, he never did have it. Because if he'd have had it, it'd have kept him. And they said, well, the Holy Ghost will keep you as long as you keep it. I said, no, no, no. What about where the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, where it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed into the day of redemption. What about that? Once you got the Holy Ghost, you're sealed by it, you can't lose the Holy Ghost. But see what they've got to feed the people? They don't have anything that can hold the people. All they've got is, all they can preach is morality. They've gotten, you know, even those that believe in the Holy Ghost, the thing about it is, they don't even know how to get the Holy Ghost. You don't get the Holy Ghost by beating and pounding on people's backs. Brother Branham said the Gentile way of receiving the Holy Ghost, they received the Holy Ghost while they yet preached. Message of God being misunderstood, Brother Bam said, now as your father in the gospel, as your pastor, I'd like, now he said, if somebody gets out of order and the pastor has to call it down and that spirit flies up, and then it's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God always stands and wants to come to the Word. It recognizes the Word every time. So, you know, as a father in the gospel, Brother Adam says here in the questions and answers, says, you're my children that I've begotten to Christ. I claim every one of you. I claim you tonight. I claim you all the time. I always claim you as my brother and sister. You're my children. I'm your father in the gospel, not a father as would be a priest, but I'm your father in the gospel. If Paul said, I have begotten you to Christ. And he said, don't let me down. Don't let me down. He said, how will I do it, Brother Branham? He says, stay with the word. Live clean and pure. Have nothing to do with the things of the world. If the love of it's in your heart, say, oh, Jesus, please take it away from me. I don't want to be like that. I don't mean just be some person that's saying this, but I mean be a genuine believer. Believe Jesus Christ and live for him every day. Don't do no evil. So how would you, you know, Brother Branham said, don't let me down. How you said, you say, well, how could I not let you down, Brother Branham? He said, stay with the word. Stay right with the word. Paul in the Bible was speaking about Timothy, and when he was speaking to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift, told him to stir up the gift that was in him, that he said that come to him from his grandmother Lois. And so Paul was speaking of paying tithes. And Paul, when he spoke about paying tithes, Paul talked about Levi, and he said that when Abraham was given tithe to Melchizedek, that Levi, while he was yet in the loins of Abraham, was accounted by God as giving tithe. And Brother Branham said, see, he said, what you think about God can affect even your grandchildren. And he also said in the message of why, he said, your life will impress your children and have influence your children by the example you set before them. Many times I wonder if we think about that when the way we live our lives and the way that we conduct ourselves from day to day, especially in front of our children, how we conduct ourselves. And you say, well, I don't do it in front of them. They ain't stupid. Sometimes people don't think children know. Children know. They know what's going on. You don't say, well, you go off in the other room. They still know. If you're cutting a shine and throwing a fit, children know about it. So what are you showing them to do? What kind of influence are you being on them? And Brother Bram said, your life will impress your children. He said, I think it's a good thing that we put every effort we can before our children as godly parents to make and be a good example. And that goes for pastors. If they stand there and say, you know, they're your father in the gospel, then their life ought to be a good example set before you, an example you could follow. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Brother Aaron said, you don't want to go around puffed up. He said, you know, you want to have the right kind of spirit. A spirit that make me humble. When my pastor sees something wrong in me and he walks around and says, now, brother, sister, you oughtn't to do those things. Make me humble and say, yes, my brother, you help me pray now. I want to, that kind of a right kind of a spirit on me. I don't want that wrong kind of a spirit. Do you? You don't want to go around puffed up saying, well, he got no business telling me. I know where I'm standing. Oh, when you do that, friends, you can see right then that you're out of the will of God. you can see right then you're wrong to begin with. And, you know, people get, I was, there was a service that we had here some years ago, and we had a minister come here to preach for us, and a very wonderful brother, very humble brother, good preacher. And after he got done preaching, why, there was a visiting man, a pastor from another church that was here. And we went out and we were standing in the hallway right here. And this man, why, he spent, well, I've had more than one go around with this fella. But every time that I'd gotten into a meeting, whether it was a couple of times it was a meeting that we held, and there was a couple of times it was meetings somebody else had held, and I got around him, and it seemed like he always, you know, instead of being able to say something good about what had been preached, he always had to try to stick out his own chest and show something about what he knew. And if he could, he'd feel like he had to try to add to something that the preacher had said. Well, he should have said it this way. He should have used this quote. He should have done this over here. Well, if it had been me, you know, and I seen this individual on different occasions, I thought, what a puffed up individual. You know, he thought so highly of himself. And then one service that we'd had a youth camp out here, and after the youth camp, why, he happened to be there, and he came, and then after the service, he couldn't say anything about what had been preached, so he stood there with me and the brother who had preached, and he stood there and tried to talk about something. Do you know how far it was that Samson carried the gates of Gaza? Brother, what difference does it make? But this man, I watched him time after time, and he was always puffed up. And no matter whose service I was in, and you know, I've even been out in West Tennessee, and the fellas show up, and you know, well, the brother, he's done passed on now, but I don't know why people get so puffed up. You know, just if you. Brother Bam said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all. I guess there's some people that they'd never be able to talk. Because it seems like they ain't never got nothing good to say. I seen this man one time out of a service that Brother Biscuit preached. Him come out of there like he knew more than Brother Biscuit. And I thought, my goodness, this guy is something. Poor fella. I don't know what in the world ever happened to him, made him like that, but that was a shame. The message of wisdom versus faith, Brother Branham was talking about this particular passage of that we just read out of Corinthians 4. And especially verse 21, but he read verses 18 down through 21, and in this message, and he said, now he said, Paul, one thing I want to get for closing. Paul made it clear to his part of the bride that he'll present. He said that Jesus Christ in the last days. About wisdom or faith. And he said, let's just read a little bit if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And he said, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of any of them which are puffed up, but the power. You know, now that was the Roman church begin to come right in there, begin to come. And the Bible said they went out from us because they wasn't of us. You see, that's right. They went out from us because they wasn't of us. Well, you know, we've had And I'm not talking about, I know we've had some folks here that went with us for some time and then they felt led for whatever reason to go to another church, and they did, you know, and they've went different places. It's happened more than once. And I got nothing against them. If that's what they felt led of God to do, well, that's fine. But I've also watched those that have been here and they left this church to go to another church, and they ain't even going to no church. Now they went right on out into the world. And the thing about it was they couldn't just leave because, you know, and leave things well enough alone. And the reason they were leaving, it wasn't because really they were feeling led of God to go somewhere else. They were leaving because their sin was getting exposed here. And so they went to leave to go somewhere else, and they couldn't just say, well, I'm leaving there because I don't like the way they preach on me. They couldn't say that. Instead, they had to go and make up some kind of lies about people in the church here and say things about the church and about the pastor and about this and the other. And, you know, and I look at that and I think about what Brother Branham said here. You know, they went out from us because they wasn't of us. Well, not just that they weren't of the Church of Dixon, but friend, they went out from the body of Christ because they weren't part of the body of Christ. That's what they did. And so then Brother Branham goes on, he said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He says, see, not in word. Well, somebody said, well, I'm educated, brother. I got more education than you ever had. And he said, that don't have one thing to do with it. That means no more than you're a pig or anything else. See, that don't have nothing to do with it. The devil's got a lot of knowledge too. And he said, then he goes on and reads, what will you then? Will I come to you with a rod or in love or in the spirit of meekness? And that's what Paul was saying. You know, in other words, these ones that were getting puffed up about things, Paul said, you know, look, do you want me to come in there and correct you? Or do you want to go ahead and take some correction from what I'm writing to you right here, so when I come, I can just come in the spirit of meekness? And that's the thing. You know, many times, friends, you think, well, Brother Jerry, do you ever need corrected? Oh, yeah, God corrects me. I'm human. I make mistakes. And God corrects me for it. But it's my job to yield to God that when correction needs to be brought to the church, that I can do that. And sometimes, you know, God, there'll be something, maybe somebody's doing, something's going on, and I don't know one thing about it. I got no knowledge of it whatsoever. And the Lord brings it to me to say, and then I'm just free, just go right ahead and speak and say it. Then there's times when God brings something to me to say, and I know good and well why I'm saying it. I know good and well what's been going on, and I got to say it anyway. You know, like the old saying, I got to say it whether it hair lips the devil, you know. And it's just got to be said. And I thought about the scripture we read there in Corinthians here in our earlier studies, how that Paul said he had heard things from the house of Chloe of what was going on in the church, you know. So there was times when Paul was bringing correction, you know, but many of the times in the letters you find that Paul writes, Paul's bringing correction because he knows what's been going on. And he's got to bring correction for it anyway. You know, you'll find out when we get on into the 11th chapter of Corinthians, you find out when Paul begins to talk about communion and all that, and Paul says there'd been some coming to the Lord's table, instead of coming to actually take communion, they were coming down there and having big feasts and making gluttons of themselves and everything else, and Paul then had to bring correction to that. And so there's many times, you know, that I might know what's going on. I might know what's being said. And the thing that I'll do is I just I let it go until the Lord moves on me to say something about it. But when he does, why, it doesn't matter whether I knowed about it or not, I still got to say something. And the thing about it is, it's because that you're children of God. And, you know, the thing about it is, the desire of my heart is for us to get ready. I remember when one of the first times Brother Phil and I had talked, we were standing over there at Shoney's out in the parking lot after I'd preached here the first time. And we were talking, and I told Brother Phil then, I said, I couldn't come here unless God had told me to come here. And I says, and if I came here, I'd believe God be sending me to get the church ready to go in the rapture. So it wouldn't be just for a 5-year or a 10-year stint, you know, and then I'd be gone and out of here. Look, friends, time may tarry, and who knows how long it'll tarry. I mean, we look around the world, and it doesn't look like it's going to be too much longer, but who knows how long too much longer is. You know, time could tarry, and then I could pass by the way of the grave, you know. But if that would be the case, then all the time that I'm here, I want to spend it, you know, getting this church ready to go in the rapture. And, I look around at the assembly, you know, the church that we have here, and we've got some new ones that have come in. We've got a lot of new ones that's coming up. And I said, you know, I was talking this week, and I said, you know, before long, right now we got a bunch of children. Before long, we're going to have a group of young people. And, we need to get some other blood in here, I guess, too, because all the young people's going to be related to one another. you've got to teach. As I'm teaching you, then you're teaching your children, and your children's coming up, and you're being an example to them as I'm being an example to you as Christ's example. And then you being an example to them to show them how to walk a Christian walk, to show them how to live a Christian life, to teach them the ways of the Lord. Not to teach them the ways of the Brownings or the Horners or the Bontragers or the Roberts or the Jacksons or whoever, but to actually teach them the ways of the Lord. Because, friends, look, our family name here in this world ain't really a whole lot. It don't really have a great deal of meaning. But are we part of the family of God? That's the bigger picture. Amen? That's the bigger picture. And then it don't matter what your last name is. You're my brother, you're my sister, I'm your brother. You know, we're all part of the family of God. We're in one family. Somebody say, well, you think your family's better than mine. I think the family of God is way better than the family of the devil. Just so you know. Amen. Let's stand. There ain't a family of this world can stand up against the family of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. Lord, as we've read through these chapters, Lord, in Corinthians, Lord, just little studies, Lord, that Phil led of God to take and Lord, speak from. And Lord, I pray, God, that it would be encouraging to us. Lord, I think of the many letters that Paul wrote and the things that he had to write. And Lord, there's many things to be said that are very encouraging. And Lord, I think of this end time message that's been preached, Lord, and how, Father, yes, there are things that brings correction, but the message of the whole is an encouraging message. Lord, that we're getting ready to go in a rapture. We're getting ready to be raptured out of here, Father. Receive a body change. Lord, we're looking forward to that time. I pray your blessings on the people now, dear God. Bless them through the rest of this week and this weekend, Lord. And Bring us back here at the appointed time, we pray in Jesus Christ's name.